On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dozens of protesters gathered at the State Capitol yesterday to urge Governor Evers to lift his extended stay-at-home order. Meanwhile, more protests are planned for Friday. What's being called a freedom rally could be attended by thousands of people outside the State Capitol, according to its Facebook page. It's part of the public backlash to the governor's efforts to slow the spread of the coronavirus. So what questions do you have about the pandemic and how state authorities are responding? What do you want to know about the governor's extended order? We're at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and she's co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So on Thursday, Governor Evers announced he would be extending the stay-at-home order to May 26th. How did he explain that decision?
He said that, you know, he acknowledged that the stay-at-home order has been tough for folks across the state, but he said we're just not, in his administration's view, in the place where we can lift those restrictions yet. He says we're not, I think the exact phrase he used was, we're not out of the woods just yet. In terms of, you know, the threat of the virus spreading rapidly between people. I think a way that he described it that people really latched onto when he was doing a press conference with reporters on Friday was he talked about easing these restrictions kind of like turning a dial rather than flipping a switch. So he said, while some folks might be ready for that switch to be flipped, it really needs to be more of a, you know, wait and see, assess as they go, and eventually kind of turning that dial slowly to move Wisconsin's shelter in place, safer at home order.
Yeah, we've heard that. Yeah, think of it as a light that's on a dimmer that you slowly, you know, turn on and not a flip of a switch.
Right. Exactly. It's going to be a gradual change when that change does happen. But the message we got last week is that change isn't going to happen, that sort of gradual turning of the dial, until at least May 26th.
How did Republicans react to the extension?
Republicans were not happy at all. I think this is something that, you know, we've heard over the past few weeks, a little bit, you know, some Republicans pushing back and saying they're concerned about the business implications of the shelter at home order. Obviously, businesses being hurt really hard by having to be closed and remain closed during this time. Republicans have raised concerns about that, but I think it really just, it kind of, exponentially increased after the governor announced the extension of the order. Their concerns were very loud, very harsh. They said that the governor has not been transparent about the sort of metrics that he's using when he's weighing whether or not to extend the order. They said the legislature should be more involved in such expansive decisions for the state. And also, I think, interestingly, said that the stay-at-home order shouldn't be as broadly applied as it is. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald pointed out in particular that rural parts of the state haven't been seeing as many cases of the new coronavirus, and so they shouldn't have to be following the same strict safer-at-home guidelines as, say, you know, urban parts of the state, Milwaukee, for example, that we know has had a significant number of cases.
They don't want blanket orders that involve the entire state, that they should be able to curate in areas that aren't as hard hit. How likely are the governor and Republicans headed for another court battle over constitutional powers here?
It seems pretty much inevitable at this point. Republican lawmakers very quickly after the governor released his extension put out statements saying that they were going to look into legislative and legal options to curtail the extension. That was, you know, late last week. After that, not too long after, they kind of focused in on the legal option and confirmed that they were planning on filing a lawsuit with the state Supreme Court this week to challenge the governor's legal authority to issue these safer at home orders, you know, just unilaterally from his administration.
We're talking about Governor Evers' extended stay-at-home order with WPR's Laurel White as our guide. What questions do you have about the order? Do you support an extension? Do you want to see some of the state's restrictions lifted or eased in certain parts of the state? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Randy now, joining us from Portage with thoughts on this. Hi, Randy.
Yes, good morning. Hi, I certainly support the governor. I'm an essential worker. I put myself at risk and my family at risk every day. And I find it very irresponsible and selfish of persons going to protest when it's proven we've reduced the rate from 3.5 of an expansion of 3.5 infections or doubling every 3.5 days to now 12 days because we're adhering to the orders. And my opinion is all these protesters, I think they should have to register at the state before protesting that if they contract the disease, that they will waive their right to any medical care and just suffer through it.
Randy, thank you for the call. Laurel, how have police responded to protesters over the weekend at the Capitol and then also in Brookfield?
You know, this is something that has certainly spurred strong opinions on either side. I think it's interesting and important, really, to note that the Evers administration and kind of the official line on this is that the protesters are certainly allowed to exercise their First Amendment rights. The governor was very clear about that from the outset. He said that he just wanted them to be practicing social distancing guidelines while they were doing so. So there isn't sort of any official, denouncement of the protests from the Evers administration. The governor's actually been welcoming of that. He just wants folks to do what they can to not spread the disease, which is obviously a big concern when people gather in groups. Like you mentioned, it could be thousands of people at the Capitol on Friday, and that's obviously far and away more people than are, advised to get together at this time.
Right. It would be a health threat there. Several Republicans called for the Senate to fire the governor's health secretary designee, Andrea Palm, over this new extension. What are you seeing there? How likely is that?
We never know about things like that until they happen. We obviously saw the state Senate choose not to confirm, but hold a vote on the governor's agriculture secretary, Brad Path. That was a pretty unprecedented action, at least for decades prior to that happening. So it's kind of trodden territory at this point. We know that the Senate can do it and has done it, and there's some appetite to push back on Evers administration officials they don't agree with and use that power that they have to confirm to remove people from office. Two senators in particular, Dave Craig and Steve Noss, have been very vocal about their disapproval of Andrea Palm and how she's been handling this. She, of course, signs all of these orders, these safer at home orders. I think the pushback there is removing someone from that position during a public health crisis. The person that's kind of the head of the agency, obviously steering the ship in a time when they're doing an awful lot.
We're looking at state efforts to slow the spread of the coronavirus in Wisconsin on the State Capitol Report. WPR's Laurel White covers the Capitol. She's our guide to the developments. What are your questions about the legislature's first bill to provide relief during the outbreak? What are you seeking from state lawmakers as they consider more relief proposals? Where should the money go? Be part of this conversation at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with more State Cap and Laurel White right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State lawmakers last week approved our state's first relief package in response to COVID-19. The bill was more than a month in the making, and Governor Evers signed it into law within hours of its passage in the Senate last Wednesday. So what do you want to know about what the bill does and where the money will flow? What do you want to see lawmakers focus on next with aid to Wisconsinites? Join in, 800-642-1234. We have WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White with us. So, Laurel, aside from the safer at home extension and school closures, what other changes to the orders did the governor announce last week?
So there are a couple small changes. For most folks, the order is going to look much the same as it has for the past several weeks. The changes include kind of an interesting measure. Golf courses are open or will be open again when the new order takes effect. I think it's kind of, as I mentioned, that important to note that the current order is in effect until the 24th. So all of the current rules that we've been living under will be in place until that point. The new order takes effect after that. So golf courses opening back up, as I mentioned, will happen after the 24th. That's something that a number of kind of lawmakers and groups had been pushing for. The governor agreed to that. Some other kind of interesting things. Libraries will be allowed to do curbside pickup. We know restaurants and other places, folks have been able to get food to go. Now they'll be able to get library books curbside. And then, interestingly, some businesses that are not considered essential businesses will be able to start doing what the administration called basic operations. So they'll be able to open back up on a limited basis to fulfill some orders for shipping, things like that, with kind of a skeleton crew. So some places that haven't been able to have any operations at all for the past several weeks will be able to kind of dip their toe in the water a little bit.
Oh, so yeah, if they have like an e-commerce component to the business, that they might be able to fulfill some orders coming in?
Exactly. So they would be able to do deliveries and mailings and some curbside pickup as well, kind of like, you know, I mentioned with the libraries or some restaurants, as you know, have been doing.
We haven't talked about this as much. How are tribal nations affected by this order?
So that is another interesting point. The governor specified that tribal nations are sovereign over their own territory, so they can impose their own restrictions. He reminded people in this order, or his administration did, reminded individuals in this order that that is the case, and people should respect whatever restrictions tribal nations do put into place on their territory.
And
it's
separate from this. He's also encouraging people not to go to their cabins, I understand.
Right. That's been a big part of the conversation. You know, as folks might start thinking about as the weather gets a little bit better, the season changes, going up north to cabins, going to different parts of the state that they frequent seasonally. The governor is discouraging that. The original order restricted travel to certain things, right? People were only allowed to travel to provide care for a family member, for example, do other forms of, kind of like we talked about essential businesses, do forms of essential travel. So a little bit in an offshoot of that, the governor's saying, going to your cabin up north doesn't qualify as essential travel. We need to try to keep people in their geographic areas and contain them as much as possible so we're not spreading the virus to different parts of the state. And it's also important, I think, to mention that a number of rural parts of the state are concerned about the capacity of their health systems. If people who don't live there normally come in and settle down and, you know, obviously, unfortunately, contract the virus, no one wants to have that happen. But if they're there, putting the strain on those rural healthcare systems that don't have as much capacity wouldn't be a good thing.
Yeah, we've heard that out of Door County. We're talking about lawmakers' response to the pandemic with Laurel White as our guide. She's WPR State Capitol reporter. You can join in. What questions do you have about last week's news from Madison? Do you support the relief bill approved by lawmakers? Where do you see a need for more aid and what are your top priorities for future relief bills? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Steve now in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First, I guess want to say that I was at the protest on Saturday in Brookfield, and I couldn't be more proud of the decision that I made to do that. I talked with a lot of folks, and one of the biggest concerns that people have is not just the virus, but really about the lies that Evers has out there. There's plenty of them. But one particular I have not heard the media really ask a question of, at least not the regular media, conservatives have asked it, is we were told the original stay-at-home order was to flatten the curve. I am not a scientist, but I'm good at numbers, and I can read the stats that the curve has been flattened. Why have the goalposts been moved?
Steve, thanks for the call. Steve, there at the protest in Brookfield over the weekend. Laurel, what do we know about flattening the curve if we've achieved it?
So that is definitely a point that folks across the state have been raising. And the governor and the Evers administration addressed that in their press conference last week when they extended the order by saying that it is working. They said shelter in place as we have it and have had it for the past few weeks is working to flatten the curve, to lower that number of, you know, day-to-day increases of the case. But they said it just hasn't been enough yet. We're not, you know, kind of as I mentioned earlier in the hour, we're not out of the woods yet. You can't lift the restrictions just because they're working. We have to get to a place where other things are kind of aligned to make sure that everyone can be safe. Things like having more personal protective equipment, making sure that hospitals do have the capacity, making sure that testing is available. We know that the state has, in addition to, you know, flattening that curve, definitely amped up the testing capacity across Wisconsin. But that's something that needs to, you know, continue to happen, and the administration wants to keep tabs on that and make sure that that's readily available. People have talked about contact tracing and implementing that, and that obviously requires some work to get that system in place as well. So I think the administration is acknowledging that, that argument that people are saying, hey, the curve is flattened, but they're just saying, unfortunately, that flattening in their assessment just hasn't been enough yet to assure that we won't have a spike after the restrictions are lifted, and that basically all that we've been doing up until this point would be undone.
Well, let's take a moment here and look at the relief bill, last Thursday's stay-at-home extension, and then Midwest governors come together to work together on what it would mean to reopen. What are you seeing out of this legislation?
So the legislation is very wide-ranging. It's got a whole bunch of provisions in it. It's something lawmakers worked on for several weeks before releasing it. I think the big headlines there are the extension, or lifting rather, of a waiting period for unemployment benefits in Wisconsin. There had been a 1 week waiting period for folks to get those benefits under this new law that the governor signed very quickly after lawmakers passed it. Individuals wouldn't have to wait that week in order to get their unemployment benefits. They would get that resource more quickly. There are also a broad set of provisions that have to do with insurance and COVID-19. For example, insurers would be required to cover COVID-19 testing. They would not be allowed to charge customers more for out-of-network care. That's something we obviously talk about a lot with insurance. The idea there is that if someone has to go outside of their network because of a capacity issue at their in-network provider, that they wouldn't have to pay more because of that. There are also some provisions in there to prevent insurers from discriminating against someone who has had COVID-19 or may have had COVID-19. So certainly some insurance-related things there, something that's really top of mind for a lot of folks, and some healthcare things as well, including some licensing easements for individuals, easing some of the licensing practices that have been in place. Two of those are pretty interesting. One would allow out-of-state healthcare providers to get a temporary Wisconsin credential if they want to come into the state and provide medical care for individuals. Another would require a temporary credential for retired healthcare workers. So people who have left the workforce but want to come back and provide care, they'd be able to get a temporary credential.
And it sets aside $75 million for unexpected needs that federal dollars don't cover. How they arrived at $75
million? We don't. So that's a number that kind of came out of the debate between lawmakers, and it's certainly a much smaller number than the governor had wanted to appropriate to the state response, and Democrats wanted to appropriate to the state response. But that's what Republican leaders who control the legislature said they thought would be sufficient for the state to offer up to that amount, sort of in concert with the federal dollars that are coming in. You know, the state is set to get about $2 billion from the federal government. So state leaders said $75 million should be good enough to work hand in hand with that federal investment.
Laurel, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter. She's also co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Coming up, State Capitol Report continues with Representative Evan Goyke, a Democrat who represents neighborhoods on the west side of Milwaukee. We'll have more conversation about politics and then a look inside our state prisons. That's right after this news update here on the Ideas Network.